first of all, can you give us a picture as to the current situation in Canada for missing Aboriginal women? What's the general picture from your perspective?
It's getting worse, essentially. A lot of people don't know this, although I am seeing slightly more media coverage these days in the last couple of months. I mean, obviously we're talking about a problem that's been going on since colonization, and nobody really has proper statistics from that time on, but since 2004 is when a really sort of more concerted effort was made to really pay attention to this particular issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women and to sort of keep stats, keep records, look for the patterns. As a result, the only real stats that exist at all are since 1980, and the official number of cases of missing and murdered Indigenous women since 1980 is 520. A lot of Indigenous activists the country over will tell you that that's like incredibly low and inaccurate, and that it's actually closer to 3,000. For example, Walk for Justice activists who have walked across the country numerous times along the Highway of Tears in BC this year, they walk a different route every year to raise awareness about these issues. They will tell you that the number's way higher. They walk across and talk to families and people along the way and collect names. There hasn't actually been funding to officialize that number. So the official number remains 520, and over half of that number is since the year 2000 alone. So it would appear that the problem's getting more frequent and more serious, but we can't entirely be sure because the record keeping before that has been so crappy. But, I mean, every week I'm hearing about a new case somewhere in the country, and it's gotten worse in recent years in Quebec specifically as well. There have been 5 or 6 cases in the last year alone, mostly of missing women, totally unsolved cases. The majority of the 520 official cases are completely unsolved, which leads to other issues of discussion like police negligence and media blackout and so on.
Let's pick up on the point of Quebec. I'm wondering if you could give us a picture as to the circumstance, conditions facing this issue in Quebec. The discussion, I would assume, is, you know, quite detailed and intense within Indigenous communities. But beyond Indigenous communities, there is some coverage, as you mentioned, but it's not a major issue in society. So maybe talk about the situation in Quebec and then just talk about the discrepancy between the discussion on reserve and off.
In my experience with Missing Justice Collective so far in Montreal, we're a grassroots solidarity collective that works with various families and communities several hours from Montreal. So that includes community of Kitigan-Zibi, which is an Algonquin community 4 hours north of here. It includes Ottawa itself, actually, as well, some women from Ottawa. And it includes Ganawage. And anyway, we're working with various families, and I can only speak for the experiences I've come across, obviously, the experiences I've had and conversations I've had with people. But a recurring pattern that keeps coming up again and again, and I'm not sure if it's less or more of an issue in other communities across Canada, but one thing for sure that comes up repeatedly is this jurisdictional issue of policing on and off reserves. So, for example, it has become very clear talking to various families of victims that reserve police, the police forces on reserves, are given an entirely different sort of training than provincial police, like the SQ, the Sûreté de Québec. And as a result, when some sort of crime or disappearance or whatever it might be occurs on the reserve jurisdiction and it is left up to reserve police, it seems that they are often lacking in particular kinds of training, like missing persons training. These are concerns I'm hearing from families that I've spoken to. And as a result, evidence often gets botched, things just get confused, the cases just get left unattended to. But even more often than that, what I've heard is that, for example, this has happened in both cases in Ganawage and Kitigan-Zibi, and I've heard this from other people as well, that there just becomes a lot of confusion between whose jurisdiction it actually is on and which police force should actually be solving a particular case. And the most blatant example I can find of this is a case of Macy Odrick and Shannon Alexander, the two teenage girls from Kitigan-Zibi who disappeared in September 2008. And, you know, they were both from the reserve. One lived on reserve, one lived off. And both the provincial and reserve police have been trying to sort of like separate the cases of the two girls as though they were separate cases and go after them, one force dealing with one girl's case and one force dealing with another girl's case, and totally not working together at all and creating an abundant amount of confusion, just putting the family through hell and sort of no reports going back to the family and just crazy confusion. And I've heard this sort of thing in about many, many cases. I don't think this is specific to Quebec. The sort of jurisdictional power push and pull between reserve police and off-reserve police is an issue that has affected cases of missing and murdered Indigenous women specifically. And I think I'm not sure exactly what the solution to that particular problem is, other than sticking to actual police agreements, which are totally being disregarded in most of these cases.
Can you talk about the events that are upcoming here in Montreal?
Yes. So Missing Justice has been organizing two events for quite a while now. One is a panel discussion on October 2nd. It's going to take place at the Deceve Cinema in the Concordia University Library. It's room LB125, and the address of the library is 1400 de Maisonneuve West. And basically, it's going to be a broad panel discussion ranging from issues of root causes of violence against Indigenous women to jurisdictional police issues, to women just speaking from their experiences and losing their loved ones. We're going to have five guests, one from Ganawage, Melanie Morrison, sister of Tiffany Morrison, who disappeared 3 years ago. We're going to have Lori Ojik, mother of Macy Ojik, who I mentioned earlier, who went missing a year ago from Kitigan-Zibi. We're going to have Craig Benjamin from Amnesty International, who did a lot of amazing work on the Stolen Sisters report, which was a report on missing and murdered Indigenous women in Canada that came out in 2004. There's also going to be Yasmin Jouani. She's a professor at Concordia University who has done a lot of work and research on violence against women and children, particularly women of color and Indigenous women. And Carrie Ann Deer from Quebec Native Women and Projet Autochtone de Québec is also going to be speaking from her experiences. It's going to be broad and yet concise at the same time. And then on October 4th, 2 days later, Montreal is going to be taking part in the fourth annual Sisters in Spirit March and Vigil. Sisters in Spirit is an awareness campaign that was begun in 2004 by the Native Women's Association of Canada. Basically, as a cross-country awareness-raising campaign around issues of violence against Indigenous women. And it's not just, at this point, it's not just members of NWAC that take part in Sisters in Spirit. It's women, Indigenous women across the country who have lost their daughters and mothers and sisters who are active participants in this campaign. So it's the fourth annual March and Vigil. There's been vigils before, 2 years before in Montreal, but never a march as well. And that's going to be taking place starting in Cabot Square, which is at Atwater and St. Catherine, at 6 p.m. on October 4th. We're going to assemble and then march down St. Catherine Street with candles to Phillips Square, which is across the street from the bay, where we're going to have speakers and drummers and a vigil, candlelight vigil. So we'll also be discussing then particular demands from the government.